Peace of God. Amen. All right. It's a battle. Amen. And it'll be a battle tonight unless God gets in it. I sound real bad. I feel good. I do. I feel a lot better. And I really appreciate your prayers. And as long as you can understand me, that's all I'm concerned about. I'm down there singing. I'm like, well, this is going to be fun. So far, I'm able to say something. So go to the book of Galatians. Galatians is where we'll start tonight. And Galatians chapter 6 is where we'll start. I really do appreciate your prayers. Like I say, I'm feeling a lot better. I don't feel so bad when I think that Luciano Pavarotti had to cancel a concert because he had mucus on his vocal cords. I said, well, I understand. All right, Galatians chapter 6. And we'll start, excuse me, in verse 1, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You notice how the Bible takes it for granted that you're nothing and I'm nothing. Before God, we're, as they say down south, we're the whole of a donut. You're zero and you're nothing. But thank God for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord's everything. Amen. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. I mentioned that last night. Command is be not deceived. If you're deceived, that's sin. And, you need to ask God to show you and then repent when he shows you. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And in the Bible, there's the law, and it's in life. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And you always reap more than you sow. If you sow one zucchini seed, by the end of the garden season, you're giving zucchini away. I mean, just how it is, you know. And you always reap more than you sow. And that is true of sin. But that's also true of righteousness. And it's encouraging to think that the little that we do for Jesus Christ by his grace, the reaping, not only in this life, but in the life to come, is going to be phenomenal. Phenomenal. The way I look at it, it's like taking a penny and putting it in a bank and then withdrawing it out, some years down the road and getting, $100,000. I mean, the Bible says, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. And do you have any treasures on the other side? Do you have any treasures that are going to last forever up in heaven? If not, you need to get some. The Bible says, lay for yourself treasures in heaven. verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Example of that is booze. When they have the cirrhosis of the liver and their lives are just destroyed by the whiskey and the booze, that sort of thing. That's an example of that right there. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And that is just a phenomenal thing, no doubt about that. This is my verse tonight. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, God, I pray that you'd please help me, God, to get the message across tonight. God, I do thank you that I feel better, but God, my voice is very weak tonight. God, I pray, God, that you would help me to just be able to speak that the truth blessed by the Spirit of God would go forth and edify the listener tonight. God, I am weak. I am nothing. God, these people do not need to hear from me. But God, we all need you. God, would you please come and touch us tonight, whatever the need is. God, thou knowest all things. I pray, God, that you would have your way and your will in each one of our hearts here tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the times and the in this life that we live, I may have to go down here, trying to find where my voice is working, and it's way down low. But in this life that we live, these times, especially as a Christian, well, even if you're lost, though, too, it can be a very discouraging time with the way things are going. You look around as Christians, and you got to realize, brothers and sisters, tonight, we are in the last moments of Christianity. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming any day, any second now. You realize tonight, this is 1848. This is the 70th year anniversary of Israel becoming a nation. Now, whether or not the Lord's coming this year, I have no idea. But that is significant. And to think that they're going to make Jerusalem the capital and those things, I'm just saying there's things going on. And we are watching, you know, this stuff take place. The Lord's coming any day now. But the longer he tarries, if you want to say, we're watching Christianity go liberal. We're watching apostasy take place. And I don't know if you've ever thought of this. It's something that I think of, how good and how blessed we are here tonight. That we're not better. Please don't think I think we're better than anybody else or I'm better than anybody else, because that's not true. But we are blessed in this respect, that tonight we have the old time religion. And you understand I'm using religion loosely, but we have the old fashioned gospel. We have the old King James, you know. Here tonight, we still believe in hell. We still believe in heaven. We still believe salvation is by grace through faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, that the things that they were preaching, not decades, but centuries ago, and even millennia ago, we still have that. There's many, many, and the multitude, majority of Christianity today, it's not that way. It's just not that way. And God has blessed us, and it really is amazing to think the percentage of Christians today on the planet that actually believe what we believe tonight and actually know where the Word of God is, and just so many things. God's been very, very good to us. There's no doubt about that. But as you look around and you see the apostasy taking place, and we ate today at Chin's. It's a Mongolian thing there, right by the motel, and a good food. But we're in there, and they've got I'm using the term loosely, a Christian radio station on. Well, you know, it's rock and roll. It doesn't sound really any different than the world's music, except it's not rap. But I'm sure they got that too. And the people, we got talking to them, and the people there are lost. They're not Christians. And we said, well, we noticed the radio station, you know, what? And they said, well, we had somebody come up, and we had another station on, and it must have been heavy metal or something, because they said, you know, do you see how your, and their children are there, you know, and they said, do you see how your children are acting? And they said, you need to put a different radio station on. They said, well, what do you suggest? Well, they suggested this Christian one, which I would take it over heavy metal. There's no doubt about that. And they said, we put it on, and our children started acting better. And it's like, well, praise God, you know. But when lost people are listening to a Christian radio station, and that's what it's like, something's wrong here. Something's wrong. Now, again, I'm rejoicing they are, but, it, you know, compared to real Christianity in the hymns, and I want to say thank you for still singing the hymns. Thank you. I mean, thank you for a church that when you go to church, it is still like going to church. Amen. It's not like going to a concert. Most of the modern stuff is like going to a concert. Well, we're doing it for Jesus. Well, yeah, they do all kinds of things for Jesus that aren't right, you know. But nevertheless, you look around, and there's things that can really get you low. They can get you down, and you got to try to keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to keep your eyes reading your Bible, that sort of thing, because it really is encouraging, because we know the Lord's coming any time now, and the trumpet's going to sound, and we're out of here, and it might be tonight. It really might. That's another thing. I'll get to the sermon in a minute, but man, the old time Christians, you say old time, what do you mean? Let's say 100 years ago. I mean, the coming of the Lord was so real to them. It was like, man, the Lord's coming back any day now. I mean, they were just, you say, yeah, but he didn't come. Yeah, but you missed the point. In the Bible, the Apostle Paul's expecting him. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you thought Jesus was coming back tonight, you would live differently. It's the knowledge of knowing the Lord's coming, and he might come tonight, that will help you live clean and godly and right in the age in which we live. But like I say, there's things in this life that'll get you down. One of the things that gets you down is trying to make everybody happy. I think that's why those churches, they don't stand for nothing. They're just trying to make everybody happy. And spiritually, they ain't worth shooting. Amen. And but you try to make everybody happy, you can't do that. I mean, I think about the story I heard. Obviously, it's not true, but it illustrates the point. This father and his boy's about 8 years old, and a donkey, and they're walking down in Mexico, and they come into this little town, little village, and the boy's riding the donkey. And they're riding into the village, and as they got there, somebody stopped and said, oh, how can you do that? They said, what? I said, young man, your father ought to be riding that donkey. You're young. He's an older man. He's the one that ought to be riding that donkey. And they're like, oh, okay. So the boy got off and let the dad ride the donkey. And they went on down. They came to the next village, and they came out and said, oh, that's horrible. How can you do that? And they said, what? They said that the father's riding the donkey and making your boy walk. That's just cruel. So they both got on the donkey. And then they came to the next village, and they came out and said, oh, that's cruel. And they said, what? They said that you're treating that donkey that way. So the next village that came to, the father was carrying the donkey. I mean, you know, no matter what you do, you just, you know, there's things going to get you down, you know. And you don't be weary in well-doing. And I want to preach on the subject of a word of encouragement, a word of encouragement out of Galatians here. And I want to say, number one, and I was praying about this. I said, God, I've already said this. Do you want me to repeat it? And I guess he does, you know, so the whole sermon won't be this way, but you have a life to be lived. I don't know what that means to you, but if you're born again, you have a life to be lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I mentioned this yesterday, and maybe there's somebody here, God's dealing with you, I don't know, and you know what God wants you to do, and you're not doing it. Why aren't you? Now, I'm not talking about reading your Bible and praying, but I'm talking about God is dealing with you, maybe to be a missionary, maybe the call to preach, you know, or maybe teach Sunday school, do a ministry in this church, work to be done. I don't know. A pastor's not said anything to me, but if God's dealing with you about it, you need to surrender and do it. You're not going to be happy until you surrender to your Savior and do what he wants you to do. But just the thought, to be able to get up in the morning, put your feet on the floor, and have a reason to do that is a blessing. I don't know how it was for you, but before I got saved, there was no reason to live. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. And I was raised with evolution as fact. And when I got born again, I mean, before I got saved, it's like, Lord, why am I alive? I was 16 years old, and there was no purpose for anything. There was no reason to work. There was no, I mean, I was working, but that was only so I could buy the stuff I wanted to buy. But I mean, there was no reason to live. And when I got saved, I got purpose. I got a reason. And not just a reason. Do you realize tonight, if you're saved, you have the reason to live. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you were created. You were created to serve him. And if you're not doing that, I know one thing. Inside, you're not satisfied. Money and things never satisfy. Never will. But you have a life to be lived. And you can live your life that the things you do, there's going to be results that last forever. You have to think about that. I mean, back in my hometown in California there, my dad was the principal of the school, and he was there many, many years. And they built a building for more classrooms, and they put a big old sign on the side of that building, and it says, the Warren McDonald Building. And that's a great thing, and I'm not belittling that at all, except one day it's going to burn up. All this stuff that you see is going to burn up. And when you do things for Jesus Christ, it's stuff that's going to be on the other side. It's going to last forever, especially if you lead someone to the Lord. I mean, the thought of getting to heaven and having somebody come up and hug your neck and say, thank you for telling me about Jesus. And you see them and realize they're going to be in heaven forever and ever. And you had a part in that. The satisfaction. There's nothing else more satisfying than then knowing that you're serving the King of the universe, and it's all His glory. I mean, we can't do anything, but it's all His glory. But to know that He used you to do something, excuse me, and then there's rewards in heaven on your account, and yet it's all because of Him. I mean, that's a blessing. If you're not living for Jesus Christ tonight, why aren't you? Have you seen the mess this world's in? Do you see what's going on? I mean, I just want to have fun. There's pleasure in sin for a season, and then it's over. And when that season is over, it's reaping time, and you're going to weep. You're going to weep. The thing to do is live for Jesus Christ. And by the way, living for Jesus Christ really has joy. Joy that the world will never give. It really does. And you have purpose tonight. And it's to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was writing, there's a book back on the table. And it's called Dealing with Bad In-Laws. And you say, why did you write that? Well, I've got a sermon on it. And it's been one of my most requested sermons. And as an evangelist, and I had never heard a sermon on that subject. Never had. And yet in-laws can be one and is one of the main causes of divorce. It's not the main, but it's one of them. And I'd never heard a sermon on it, and I thought, okay, and there was Laban, and then so I did it. And so I thought, well, you know what, I'll put it into a book, and so I have. And you know what's interesting about that, when I was writing that book, just we'll get back to this in a minute, is there's a website, and I was trying to find research, you know, stuff on in-laws and things. There's a website, and it's called IHateMyInlaws.com. That's the name of the website. And all it is a website to vent. Now, it's got some bad language, all right? It's got bad language. But that thing, we're talking thousands of entries of people just venting about in-laws. I mean, it just, and, there was a lot of illustrations in that thing. I mean, it was amazing. And I had that sermon, and then I thought, okay, I'll write the book, and I was writing the book. And I was done, and I stopped, and I said, wait a minute. And I had written about how to deal with a bad in-law. And I stopped, and I said, wait a minute. But what about the in-laws that aren't bad, but their son or son-in-law or daughter and daughter-in-law have said, we don't want you around? And they were not intruding. They were not overbearing. They were not all that stuff. And yet they've been shut out of the lives of their children, that sort of thing. And so the last chapter, I put a hurting in-law. And as I went through there and wrote, I prayed over it and just kind of freely wrote on that thing and said, you know, you've raised them, they're grown, they're gone. And you say, but I don't deserve to be treated this way and that sort of thing. And I said, that may be true. That may be true. But the thing is, you have a life to be lived in Jesus Christ. And now they're grown, they're gone. Maybe you lived your life serving and raising kids. Now use your life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. There is purpose. There is life after children. And because I went to a grandparents' website, and they were like, what is there worth to live for? What am I going to do? And just on, I'm like, it's good to be saved. It's good to know, regardless of what happens, you have purpose. And it's a purpose that will endure time and last forever, and that is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. And when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you are well-doing. You really are. You're well doing. It's not like the United Way or, you know, all that stuff. And I'm not opposed to those things, but that stuff, a lot of people trying to work their way to heaven, doesn't work. It's not going to work. But Jesus Christ, it's well doing. It really is. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing. I want to say, secondly, there's a danger to be avoided. There's a danger in this Christian life to be avoided, and that is growing weary. Growing weary. And let us not be weary. And there's times, maybe you're not weary of living for Jesus Christ. Maybe you're not weary of the way, but you might be weary in the way. And you just get worn. You just get beat down at times. And you've got to be careful of that. You got to watch that, because you get beat down, you get weary, then you get discouraged, and it just begins to snowball. And that's not God's will. That really is. That's not God's will. You know, a verse that's come to be special to me is the verse, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And there's been some times in my life where I was real low. I was weary. I was very discouraged. I didn't know how I was going to go on. There was debts, and they weren't stupid debts. They were debts of repairs and just all kinds. It was like, God, I've done my best. I don't know what to do. And I got to the end of my rope, and I went in. The RV has a bedroom. I went in the bedroom, and I knelt down to pray. And I just knelt, and I stayed there. And I just stayed there, and I was there, and I just stayed. I was there for 5 hours praying and just telling God. I had nowhere else to go. I knew God could fix it, but I couldn't. And when I came out of there, I had joy, and I hadn't had joy in a long time. And I was much easier to live with, which my wife was glad. I actually, it was pleasant to be around. And prayer. You get alone with God and tell Him everything that's on your heart. It'll minister to you and help you to get through. And I don't mean praying while you're driving your car. Nothing wrong with that. Just keep your eyes open, all right? But, but it's getting alone with God. And shutting everything out and praying out loud, undistracted, and going there. And that will encourage you. It'll pick you up. It ministers in a very real way. But there's times you get weary. One of the biggest weapons Satan uses is discouragement, weariness. Why should I go on? What is there worth living for? Well, it's Jesus Christ. That's what's worth living for. And going on for Him. And that purpose there. But some of the greatest men of the Bible got discouraged. Moses said, Lord, you know, if you don't go up with us, don't take us in. Moses, he says, I'm leading the children of Israel. He said, Lord, take me out. Blot me out of the book. Take me away. Now that's Moses. You take Elijah. He's on Mount Carmel, gets a great, great victory. The next chapter, he's saying, God, I'm no better than my fathers. Just take me away. I mean, there's people in there. You take Moses says to Israel, pray for Joshua. Pray for him. Pray the Lord would encourage him. And they get discouraged. And if those men in the Bible get discouraged, then we're prone to be discouraged down here. Maybe you're discouraged with family. Maybe you're discouraged, with your job or bills, or maybe you get discouraged with your health or something like that. There's many things down here, but the Bible says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the Bible, a Christian is never pictured resting. Now, there's times you need to rest. There are times when you need to work for the Lord, and there's times where you need to go fishing. Amen. There's times, ladies, I tell my wife, you know, she says, I just need to go shopping. I'm like, really? And she said, yeah, you know, and she said, it's just therapeutic, you know, and I'm like, well, okay. And she'll go, and she's good. She's real good about that, and she try to go to clearance racks, you know, and things, and try to find that, you know, thing. And so I told her, I said, well, did you pull the trigger? She's like, first time I said that, I said, did you pull the trigger? She said, what do you mean? I said, that's how women go hunting. They go to the mall, and they hunt for those deals. Guys, you go out in the forest hunting for the deer. The women, they're hunting. That's their, you know, that's how they do it. And but there's a time where it's work and serving the Lord, and there's time, whether it's, you know, retail therapy or hunting or fishing or whatever, there's a balance in all of it. You understand that, you know, when you get weary, that sort of thing. But in the Bible, a Christian is never resting. They're either fighting or running. Or the Bible says, be sober, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, be sober, that sort of thing. And so you're to be that way. And if not, the devil come in and take you out. But don't get weary. Spurgeon, Spurgeon said, I am the subject of depression so fearful that I hope none of you ever get to such extremities of wretchedness as I've got to. That's Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he said, there's times I get so depressed, so discouraged, I hope none of you ever get to that point. And there are times in this life where we can get discouraged, where we can get weary, where we can get down. And there is a solution. There is things to do about it. Prayer is a big thing. But he says, let us not be weary in well-doing. There's a promise to be claimed. There's a promise to be claimed. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the promise is, if you live your life doing right, there's going to be payday. There's going to be blessings. Sometimes those blessings are in this life. And then obviously there's going to be blessings in the life to come. There's no doubt about that. But you get sowing, you get reaping, you get sowing and doing for the Lord. In due season we'll reap. And I'm 59 now. Some of you older, some of you younger, you know. But I've been at it now since, well, I got saved in 1977. And I've been living for the Lord, trying to live for the Lord ever since, went to Bible school and trying to serve the Lord. And little by little, there's blessings that come in that's like, wow. And it's people that you've led to the Lord. And they're praying. I got one guy, I led him to the Lord by the grace of God. And it wasn't me. I was in church. He went forward. They said, would you? And I did. And I just happened to be at the right place, right time. But to him, it's special. And I'm special to him. And but he'll call up and say, hey, Brother McDonald, I led someone to the Lord today. You got another grandchild for the Lord, you know. And, I led three today. And he was in Iraq and he was in Afghanistan. He was leading soldiers to the Lord. And some of those soldiers are now living for God, leading others to the Lord, that sort of thing. It is a marvelous, marvelous thing. And there's just things that... as you live for the Lord and you sow and you sow and you sow, then there's things that come in that are just, it makes it worth it. It makes it worth it. And it's a promise to be claimed. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Due season, one day, you're stepping into heaven. Amen. One day. You're stepping into a new body. You're gonna hear me in heaven. Sing the hallelujah chorus just louder than anybody. I mean, this whole flesh, you know, and it's weak and it's depraved and it's corrupt. And one of these days we get brand new bodies. Brand new bodies. Recently, we've got some friends, and Megan's mom and dad, her dad was dying. Her brother had died, I want to say 2 years ago. He was saved, but he never kicked the habit of drugs. And he ended up overdosing and dying. I believe that was it. And I think he was diabetic as well, the combination anyway. And her dad was dying, and she was by his side. And the rails were starting to get loud, and the hospice said, "You can expect that sort of thing." And they were. And it was 1 a.m., and she had been by him and nursing him for days, you know, and getting rest when she could. And it was 1 a.m., she was exhausted. And she said to her mom had not sat by his side, but she said, "Mom, would you please? I am so tired." And she showed her what she needed to do to administer the morphine and different things. And she said, "All right, I can do that." And so she left, and she went. They had an RV in the backyard, and her husband was there. And she went in. She said she got in, and she began to pray a little bit before she laid down. She began to pray, and she said it wasn't a voice and it wasn't a vision or anything like that, but she said she got the strongest impression. She said it was so real. And she said, "I saw my father fall on his knees with his hands up before Jesus." And she said, "I saw my brother all of a sudden run across and put his arms around and hug him." And she said, it was just like I was there. And she said, right at that moment, the phone rang. And she said, it was my mom. And she answered, she said, "Daddy just died." I'll tell you, one of these days, folks, we're going home. We're going home. And there's going to be reunions. Oh, what a joy. This world's not my home. We sang that tonight. Ready to go. Ready to go. I mean, let's go. Let's get out of here. This world's not my home. I mean, in due season, you'll not only reap down here, but you're going to reap up there as well. I mean, the people, if you haven't led anybody to the Lord, if you're saved more than a year, you need to take someone with you. There's plenty of lost around. I don't know if you've noticed recently, but there's a lot of lost people around, you know. I mean, take some. Don't go empty-handed, as the song says. Must I go empty-handed? No, take some with you. Get somebody up there that's going to hug your neck and say, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus and leading me to the Lord." If you haven't done that, you need to do that. Amen. I mean, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There's a promise to be claimed. And then last of all, excuse me, there's a condition to be fulfilled. And that is if we faint not. And all that the devil does, he does to cause you to faint, to quit, to give up on the Lord. And by the grace of God, don't faint. And there's times, brothers and sisters, I mean, if you're trying to do right, there's going to be times you're going to get very, very discouraged. And it's like, man, I can't do anything right for the Lord, and I'm not making any progress. And Paul said it this way, "The good that I would, that I do not, that I would not, that I do." So then if I do that I would not, it's no more I, but sin that dwelleth in me. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I mean, that's the Apostle Paul. But there's times you feel so just, I've blown it. I'm just not worthy. I'm no good. God, I can't do anything right. Just on and on and on. And that pity party and just feeling sorry for yourself. And no, it's not right. But there's times it happens. Amen. There's times I do that. Man, I'm just, God, I'm no good. And you're just discouraged. You're weary. You're discouraged. And you're down. And you got to be very careful at those times. And just say, you know, what's the use? No, without him, we can do nothing anyway. And by the grace of God, there was a time I was really low. And I write about it in the book Pursuit. And I'd been 13 years out of Bible school. And everything I had done was a failure. Everything. My wife married me. The only success I had was graduation. When I got out of Bible school for 13 years, nothing I did was a success. We ended up homeless. And I mean homeless. We were sleeping on the floor of a friend's mobile home. Terry and the kids ended up going down to her mom's, and I mean it was bad. It was real bad. And I remember I have not had one success, and I can't do anything right. And I mean the world, as hard to explain, was right on my back saying, come on back, come on back, come on back to Egypt, come on. And I was praying. I could feel it. The devil's saying, man, you're a mess. God's never going to use you. The brethren said, God's never going to use you, and they're right. You're just a flunky. You're no good. I mean, just. And I remember praying, saying, God, I don't know if I'll ever be able to do anything for you. But God, if I have to fail for the rest of my life, I'll fail for you. But by your grace, I don't want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather die. And I meant that. I meant it then. I mean it now. I don't want to go back there. I know what's back there. And it ain't worth living for. It's Jesus Christ. That's why. And by the grace of God, he'll lead you on. And don't faint. If you're burdened, if you're low in spirit, if you're just really down, talk to your friend, Jesus. Talk to the one that loves you so much. He went to the cross and died for you. You know he loves you. Talk to Jesus Christ and tell him how you feel. Exactly how you feel. Get alone with him and talk to him and tell him everything. That's how you're going to battle through. You don't have the strength. You got to get that. You don't have the strength to get through. I don't have the strength to get through. Without him, we cannot make it. It's ain't going to happen. You've got to go to Jesus Christ. You've got to bring your burdens and your cares and put them on the Lord Jesus Christ. A pastor of a church in Scotland years ago, it was a country church, and that entire year, only one person had gotten saved, and it was a young boy about 12 years old. And at the end of the year, the deacons came to the pastor and said, you know, we got together, we've been talking about it, praying about it. And said, would you consider resigning? There hasn't really been much fruit. Nobody just won saved this year. It doesn't seem like God's really doing much. Would you consider resigning the pastorate of this church? And he said, yeah, I will. Monday, I think that was Sunday night. Monday, he came to the church. Nobody there. Kneeling at the altar praying about it. God, do you want me to resign? And as he was praying, the door in the back opened. And he heard the footsteps coming up that wooden floor. He got up, and it was this boy that had gotten saved that year. And the boy came up, didn't know what the pastor was going through, and said, Pastor, do you think you could teach me the Bible and how to preach? And he said, well, I believe I could. He said, I'd really like that. And he said, all right. And he took that as God saying, everything's going to be all right. And he began to teach this young man. Things started to go better in the church. But he taught that man, and a few years went by. And one day that young man came up to him and said, Pastor, do you think God could use me as a missionary? And he said, well, you know, I think he could. That man's name was Robert Moffat. And he was a pioneer missionary to Africa. His daughter married David Livingston. And many, many thousands of people got saved through his ministry there. We know Robert Moffat's name, but I don't know the name of that pastor. I don't know who that was. Don't quit. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Two frogs fell into a deep cream bowl. The one was wise and a cheery soul. The other one took a gloomy view and bade his friend a sad adieu. And the other frog, with a merry grin, said, I can't get out, but I won't give in. I'll swim around till my strength is spent. Then I'll die the more content. And as he swam, though ever it seemed, his struggling began to churn the cream. Until on top of pure butter he stopped, and out of the bowl he quickly hopped. The moral, you ask, oh, it's easily found. If you can't get out, just keep swimming around. Amen. The Lord's able. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. With God, all things are possible. You go to this book, there's promises. You've got to cling to those promises. God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. He's right there with you. You've got to cling to these promises and draw nigh to Him by the grace of God. You've got to do that. It was 7 years before Carrie baptized his first convert in India. 7 years before somebody got saved. Tonight, there's a national missionary. His last name is Lemon. And Brother Lemon is in Burma. And Brother Lemon is doing a great work. And he's they're like 99% Muslim all over that, and there's millions. And Brother Lemon, his father, I think, died. His grandfather is working with him. His great-grandfather was led to the Lord by William Carey. And he is a fourth generation from the mission endeavor of William Carey. And I know a man, and I support Brother Lemon tonight. and another man, and they're getting ready to build a church over there, and they're baptized, and it's just absolutely amazing. Let me tell you a story, and I'll wrap this up. But Brother Wayne Mund, he's got fishers of men, and he was a fisherman growing up, and he's gone all around the world to fishing communities and witnessed and led people to the Lord and that sort of thing. And in Mobile, Alabama, they've got a ministry where when these ships come in, these freight ships, they will go up on the ship and say, "Where y'all from?" And it might be Russian, might be Indonesia, might be, you know, and then they'll go back and they'll get Russian Bibles or Indonesia, whatever it is, and stuff, and they'll go up and they'll pass them out to these sailors that are on these freighters and say, "We're having a Bible study," and some of those sailors come off and that Bible study gets saved. It's an amazing ministry. But Brother Munn and Brother Henry went over to Brother Lemon's. They just got back, but there was another trip 3 years ago just to see if it was legitimate because they were going to support it, but they wanted to make sure it was good. And they got there, and the grandfather was there, and he said, "Brother Henry said, we went around. You can only get to these villages by boat. They line these shores, and there's all these inlets and rivers and stuff." And he said, "We went to this one little village, and he said they put on their best clothes, you know, the missionaries here, the men of God are here. And in the center of this village was that Indian elephant. Hindu. I think that's Kali. I forget. I don't know if it's Kali or not. But anyway, you know, that multi-armed elephant devil is what it is. And it was a beautiful statue in the center of that village, and they got there, and these people came out, you know, and that old man, whose dad had been led to the Lord by William Carey, Henry said he began to preach to those people, and he said, "You see this statue, very pretty, but it has eyes, but it can't see. It has ears, but it cannot hear." And went down that thing. He said, it was amazing. It was a blessing, man. But that's what they're doing. And that's in due season we shall reap if we faint not. William Carey's in heaven. Ministry still going on. Let me give you one more thing. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you heave a sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is odd with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns, and many a failure turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you mustn't quit. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, promise of God, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd bless the message. If there's somebody here tonight very, very discouraged, Lord, would you wrap your arms of love around them? Pick them up, hold them close in your bosom. Let them know that you're there. You love them. You care for them. And God, strengthen them. Help them. God, I pray they would not quit. Lord, minister in each one of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.